What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
FM.com.
Yes, it is. It is old school here on the eve of Christmas. Christmas Eve, as you might call it. I'm Austin. He's Jay. Hope you're having a very, very merry start to your holiday festivities. As always, if you're listening and want to be a part of the show, you can at 402-464-5685. Jay, we got the prime rib going at my parents' house.
Man.
Brought to you by who?
You got one from the Mercado?
I believe so.
Man.
I believe so.
Yeah. I just hooked my brother up.
Woo!
Send him a little care package.
Nice.
Yeah. From the Mercado.
Love it.
Yeah.
Great Christmas gift.
Yeah, he lives down in Tennessee. So I said, man, you see, need some of this Nebraska beef. Was it the
grass-fed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Piedmontese beef. We got three locations in Lincoln. I know. Hey, listen, if you up against the clock, like your boy Nick, did he go radio official with his old lady?
Ooh, I don't know.
I think he did, but if he didn't, eventually he's gonna have to run into the rents.
Yeah,
you need to stop by. Listen.
Oh, he's met the rents already.
Yeah, but not during the holidays.
That was Sunday.
Oh, they did Christmas already.
Yeah.
Well, you better to seal your fate, Nick.
They're going back again tonight.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, but to bring him some meat from the Mercado. There's three locations. I don't know where Nick lives. There's one on the 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill. 85th and Andermatt/Old Cheney. Then if he's up there in the O, which I don't think he is, 168.
He's back and forth.
Yeah, just never know. So you all covered. So he might be up there at the little outlets trying to do some last minute shopping. Run over there, 168th and Maple up there in the O, and they'll take care of you too.
When Bloodline hooks you up, you sit in family section or 300s? Where are you sitting tomorrow?
Bloodline hook me up. I've got to be courtside. Me and John Moran's dad, we're going to fight. You know what I'm saying?
We need it.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Oh, you can take tea.
Oh,
I think you can.
I would dust him up. Little dude. Little Usher wannabe. Yeah.
Usher. Okay, Jay. You mentioned it. NBA Christmas tomorrow. Should the NBA consider moving its marquee matchups to Christmas Eve if the NFL is going to try to take over Christmas Day?
I think they should do both. Keep some for Christmas or do Christmas Eve and Christmas. You should. Work around the NFL and you'd like to think the NFL would have played nice and let NBA, because this is like the official start of the NBA season when it really starts to get real.
Yeah.
But the NFL big boyed him and it went off like gangbusters last year. So, but the Chiefs aren't worth the plum nickel. So this is actually a year where none of the games are really exciting. Detroit and Minnesota is garbage. Chiefs Broncos is just obviously one-sided.
Yeah.
And
Cowboys Commanders
is garbage as well. So,
at the beginning of the year, you could have talked yourself into at least two of those matchups being good.
Yeah, for sure.
Cowboys Commanders was probably going to be a little shaky, but the other two
you would have said Jaden Daniels against the soap opera of the Cowboys. So all three of the games would have been good. Even Detroit, Minnesota, you would expect Minnesota to bounce back from last year, and then obviously Detroit continue along doing what they were doing.
The NFL didn't just big boy the NBA, though. I mean, the NFL has been creeping into the college football sphere with some Saturday games toward the end of the college football regular season. But the flip side of that, Jay, is that college football has continued to make its season even longer and pushed into the NFL season, which can't be healthy for ratings. I get it. They're mostly on different days.
But it's not good. It's almost overlooked.
It really is. And I get it. You don't want to be scared of the NFL, but you also have to recognize just how big a place it holds in the national conscience. And you can make a smart decision by working around the NFL, especially for college football, right? Where I know they have their traditional days, right? Rose Bowl being played on January 1st and, you know, New Year's Day Bowls, New Year's 6 and what have you. But if the NFL is coming for New Year's Day and the NFL is coming for Christmas, if you're the NBA, you might have had this tradition for a while. You're not the power player right now. Give it a 5-year break. Yeah. Come back to it later. See if the NFL is still that bit.
I wish the college football would come together and along with the transfer portal and NIL and redo their season schedule and their off season.
Yeah.
You know, curtail it to around like the NFL. You can have like 20 practices, spread them over the whole off season. Even if you want to throw another portal window in there, just in case things don't work out, you know, at the end of, you know, school year or whatever it is, or maybe June, and start the season early in July and then make, not have as much time after the conference championships for the college football playoffs. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. I mean, the college football, when you think about January 19th and it started, there was a game August 28th, right?
Something like that, I was going to say 26th. Oh yeah, right before. Yeah.
So it's a long season.
Five months.
Yeah. It's great product, but it's almost when these games are played. Because look at Ohio State and Miami is on the same day as Nebraska and Utah. Mm-hmm. You want these college football playoff games to have their own day.
Especially when there's four of them.
Right.
You can do 11, 2, 5, and 8.
You're right. I wish they should have their own day.
Yeah.
But we'll see if they tweak on, you know, they got to, you know, everybody meets together. I know there's probably more to it than just saying, hey, you know, you guys should change your whole off season and practice, you know, not have spring ball because, you know, of what's going on, but you know, you've changed everything else, but you left spring ball, I guess the allotment of practices and the time the same, which it seems dumb. You've rearranged the transfer portal and signing day twice. You know, you had the one
for the coach's sake.
And then you forgot to say, okay, for the coaches and team's sake, let's change the offseason so the players can better get assess their situation and make it better, or, you know, find another spot and then have another late transfer portal thing. But we're staying pat, and now you have most teams not even doing spring ball because you want to make sure you keep your team, but let alone, you know, your roster is not as deep because it's so spread out across the nation.
What do you lose when you don't do spring ball as a college program?
I don't think, you mean a spring game?
I mean, spring games, right? I mean, you go through spring ball, but you can't do the same level of spring ball if you don't know who your roster is.
Well, I mean, they know. I mean, I think they know you're trying to, like, get your roster to the season. I think you lose. I mean, depends on where you're at, you know, like as far as where you're, you know, where your program's at. I mean, if you're one of the top programs, they know how to practice. Everybody knows the standard, the winning tradition. And so it's rinse and repeat. And, you know, when you're trying to get, I guess, on the come up like Nebraska, you know, when you're trying to be, you know, really implement physicality and have an edge in that type of area, can, you know, maybe stymie your progress or consistent progress, because some guys need it more than others, and some guys the lights come on what it means to be physical day in and day out a little bit later, and some come on sooner. So you're trying to mesh all these different things while trying to win. Spring ball is huge because it's the first thing that you do football-wise after really being in the weight room and hopefully addressing some of the weaknesses you have.
And it's still there, but in what form or fashion? Especially with the tackling rules, the number of times you can wear, you know, full pads versus half pads or whatever it is.
Yeah, and what technically is a practice, what technically is a walkthrough, all that stuff. And, you know, you got to spread it out. You got to be strategic and tackling and, you know, who needs to work on their tackling, who doesn't. I mean, you know, there's different theories on what you need to do. Tackle to the ground, that means you're going to be more physical versus if you do thud. You know, I've been in both places. You know, I've been in, you know, like obviously in Nebraska, we were extremely physical.
Yeah.
Monday was half pads. Tuesday was full pads. Wednesday was full pads. Thursday was just in spiders or shell or helmets. Mm-hmm. But every single rep was full speed. Now, I think Monday might have been a little bit shorter, you know, because we were kind of, you know, probably doing corrections, installing. But it was physical, though. And we were thudding up. Like, everything was thud. It was just a way of life, the thudding up. Then I go to Buffalo when you're in the pros, and this is probably what they are, is that Wade Phillips, he wants you fresh during the finish out of the season. It's long season now, but it's by the length of college football right now. And if you get, you know, go deep into the playoffs. And so what we did is, like, training camp was, you know, pretty taxing and all that. We didn't really, you know, wear pads for, like, you know, days on end. We'd do pads, maybe half pads in the morning, walkthrough, just helmets, another one, then pads. You know, we kind of spread it out. And then what Wade wanted us to do, like late in the season, if we had six periods, whatever they were, and just count like two or three of them were like your individual, you know, work, we'd only wear pads for like blitz period or play action or inside outside run or 9-on-7, whatever play. So he wanted you fresh by the time. But then I went down to the Houston Texans. And let me tell you, Dom Capers, that was the hardest training camp I've ever been in. Legendary. Pads all day long, hitting all day long, all that stuff. So you got to find your happy medium, but then also you got to have guys that are willing to practice as a pro.
Another issue is college sports, Jay. Eligibility. Have you seen the story out of college basketball?
Yeah. The former, was he a five-star or four-star? He's 25 years old, going to be a freshman?
Technically he's 21, is what I'm seeing. The number 31 overall pick from the 2023 draft, James Nagy, has committed to Baylor.
Yeah, this I saw the Kyrie Walker one.
He's bounced around the G League. And Oklahoma is getting a Russian guy who's played 4 years of European basketball for second semester.
Yeah.
Just go over and start playing right away.
Yeah, he just got eligible. Yeah, I did see that.
The James Nagy one really stands out to me. He was the number 31 overall pick in the 2023 NBA draft. He was part of the Karl Anthony Towns trade.
How does that happen?
Because he was playing in the G League. He was drafted. The Knicks had his draft rights, and they traded him, or they received him in the Karl Anthony Towns trade. And now all of a sudden, he's allowed to play college basketball?
Yeah, I know.
What are we doing here? What's the point of the NBA draft withdrawal rule? I mean, are we getting close to a Caleb Williams situation, which has worked out better for him now with the Bears, but get drafted number one overall? I'm like, don't like my spot. So I'm going back to college. Yeah. I'm going to get a bunch of money there and try it again in a few years. What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Basketball is operating. I think it's desperation. We talked about this. I think it's desperation because we talked about like franchises and the lottery and in the small markets, right? But this is a byproduct of it because now you're so desperate to say you either want storylines or you're trying to find a way to have this next American player or next American players take over for the ones that you're ushering out so quickly right now.
Yeah.
And you don't appreciate them. And I think, you know, basketball is significantly different than football. I think you can play at the pro level if you have the height and have something that's a superior skill at 18 years old.
Yeah.
Now I don't like 25-year-old guys that went and played professional basketball, especially here. Now over there in Europe is different. Their league, you know what I'm saying? I know it's pros, but it's different. I mean,
it's not the NBA, but you're still playing against grown men. You're getting paid a salary.
Sure. But it's not to the, in theory, it's not the same level. Whereas like when you go play pros and then you come back, like, and you're a 25-year-old freshman. I mean, some of these kids that are going into college are 17 years old.
Yeah.
You're almost 10 years older than them. And so I don't really like it. They need to probably, I mean, it's an NCAA thing. And obviously you see the football thing with the JUCO. I think they need to, whoever they are, I mean, the NCAA, like you guys have been on easy street for a long, long time. You know, why don't you just make some blanket rules and then start to adjust from there, but do something productive to, you know, keep the integrity of the game. And also physically, I think it's not a good matchup for a grown man going against some. And some of these kids are coming in underdeveloped at 17, 18 years old.
Right.
So the health risk. And then also it's squandering opportunities for the high school kids or kids that are trying to come up from Division II or III or whatever to the, you know, obviously the Power Four level or the Division I basketball level. So there's nothing positive that comes out of it, you know. I'm just thinking now that 22 years old, say 22 years old. I mean, that was, you know, that'd be like me going and starting at Nebraska again as a freshman.
Yeah.
After my first year in the NFL. are you crazy? I mean, this is not, I mean.
You might literally knock someone's head off.
Right. It would not even be.
Fair.
Fair. I mean, it's so.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
I don't know what they're going to. I think sports right now, and I know this is Christmas, and you know, but I hate, you know, I'm sure people, they always look at me as a Grinch or whatever, but I just hate it. I mean, sports are just, college sports is just broken.
Straight up.
It is. And this is not hating. This is not anything. I mean,
it's factual.
These kids.
We've lost any logic.
Any logic, and it's affected. These kids run around. I mean, I just laugh sometimes. Like, you know, I should have sent you, like, they had the rankings of the quarterbacks, you know, in the portal. And they're, which is weird because it, the I guess the caption of it is like, these guys are only worth $2 million at most. But the, hold on, listen. Right. That's the reaction, right? These guys are only worth $2 million at most. But the market is probably going to pay majority of them $3 to $4, maybe $5 million. Just think about that.
I don't want to.
You're right. And it's like, you're getting overpaid for being average.
Yeah.
And that's why when you have standards for them and want them to play better, they push back on it because they don't have to. Because they roll over and look at their bank account. You know, was it i3 Bank, US Bank, Wells Fargo, whatever. You can't tell them anything. Because they know some dumbos out here are going to give them some money.
Oh, yeah.
And so college sports in general is broken. Straight and up. I don't know if it's ever going to get fixed. I think the only way it gets fixed is people stop going and or the networks don't make enough money. And so they decide to blow it up.
Yeah. So James Nagy at 21 will still have all 4 years of college eligibility left. Which, here's the thing, being a 25-year-old is not the most wild thing we've seen in college sports. I mean, that McCormick guy from Miami is kind of the outlier. But, Jay, this would have been last summer or last winter. Here was my proposal for situations like this. It's an age limit. Yeah. I think that's the simplest thing. If you're 18 or below and no professional experience, you qualify as a freshman. For every year that you've played professionally, that knocks 1 year off of your eligibility counter in college. And if you're 25 years or older, even if you turn 25 in season, you're ineligible. You just can't play. Yeah. I get injuries. I get red shirts. I think that the COVID thing ought to be in the background for another 100 plus years or hopefully ever, whatever it is. But to me, if you're 18 or below with no professional experience, you're a freshman. 19, you're a sophomore.
Yeah.
If this is like when you first come to college, and I know you have some 19-year-old freshmen as well. Yeah. Just kind of general.
I mean, you'll know when the what box you fit in.
Yeah.
But
especially like for the Europeans coming over, right? Yeah. If you're 19 years old, you're 20 years old, and you're going to qualify as a freshman. No, you're not. If you're 20, you're a junior.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, you don't get a red shirt.
Yeah.
You know, if you think that's that worth it to you to come over. I get it in the human element of you need some time to adjust, meet your teammates, learn the language and the culture and whatnot. So I don't want to be like harsh, but you're 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should be closer to graduating than just getting your foot in the door. If you think you're ready to make that jump, prove that you're ready to make that jump.
Yeah, they need to really – I like it. No, you just never know because, I mean, sometimes you have kids that grow out in rural areas that don't go to school until later because they're, you know, obviously, you know, got other obligations. So you got to make sure that you're, you know, allowed some outs on different situations. But I think they need to have some sort of continuity of age, and especially when you get past – I think everything changes once you get past 22, 23. Mm-hmm. And now you're able to dial back, and you really want to be a 21-year-old freshman?
I mean, I wouldn't. Really?
I mean, the only good thing about it being a 25-year-old senior, you can rent cars for people when they come in town.
Hey.
You know, but it's like I said, it's broken. It's ruined the game. It's ruined the aesthetically, you know, the game, aesthetics of the game.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a lot of good homegrown players anymore that are, you think, all right, here he comes, and he's going to be a big part of the, you know, the continuation of the NBA and being a dominant force. And now the NBA in particular, indirectly of the NCAA and obviously college basketball, if hockey continues the progress, right? And obviously you had the World Cup and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, obviously being the Winter Olympic sport and or baseball, you know, starts the progress, you know, with some homegrown guys. You got Paul Skeens and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna not, and especially with LeBron, KD, Curry, all those guys at the twilight of their career, and eventually they're gonna stop playing.
Yeah,
you're gonna lose your stronghold on that number two spot behind NFL football.
You know what else is potentially broken, Jay? The Ravens' relationship with Lamar Jackson. A longtime beat writer for the Baltimore Sun penned a column. Did someone in the Ravens leak something to a columnist? Is the relationship in a bad spot entering Christmas? We'll talk about that when we get back to Old School. Sir, the show. Check them out online, Heartland of Nebraska, windows.com. They're based out of Hallam. All sorts of great stuff going on there, including all sorts of warranties, free estimates, and of course, their local crews. Not contracted out. They have their own in-house crews as always. Jay, in-house crew for the Ravens may or may not include both John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson next year. So this is from Mike Preston, who's been on the Ravens beat for a while, writing for the Baltimore Sun. He writes this: the breakdown of an NFL player's body is natural, but Jackson could help himself. He doesn't need to be up late at night playing video games or falling asleep in team meetings. He needs to train more around the castle instead of only attending mandatory minicamps where he disappears after one day. A major problem, a lot of it on the Ravens, is that there are team rules and then there are rules for Jackson. That's why Baltimore practices in the heat of the afternoon instead of in the morning. Once the Ravens, however, become critical of Jackson, he becomes more withdrawn. It's a shame because Jackson isn't a mean-spirited person, just an overgrown kid in an adult's body.
Dang.
Who in the Ravens building has a bone to pick with Lamar Jackson that you would send that information to a beat writer?
Oh, that's definitely somebody up in upper management. That's either like general manager. That's somebody, knowing, since that's a long-term beat writer, knowing him on a personal level and has the respect of him on a professional level both ways, they're sending a message to Lamar Jackson.
Man.
Straight up. You don't get it together, you gone, brother. And you don't have a market other places. That's where he's like Cam Newton. Well, your style worked one place. Worked with one organization, worked with one offense, one coordinator. After that, if Andy Reid don't pick you up, you're not going anywhere.
Shane Steichen might.
There are somebody like that, but few or far between.
Because
Lamar Jackson, the way he plays, is as great as he is and going to be a Hall of Famer. His style isn't for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
His style isn't for majority of the NFL. And if you're acting like that, you're actually older than actually what your body and your wear and tear is. You have now expedited your expiration date out of the NFL by that.
Preston continues. He says, meanwhile, the Ravens should explore all options. It's clear that Coach John Harbaugh has become tired of Jackson, even though he builds him up after every game. He has to, or Jackson will go into his own self-exile. The Ravens should look at possible trades, which could net them 2 or 3 first-round picks. Jackson would love to play in Miami, where quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is no longer the starter, or possibly Las Vegas, where Brady, a partial owner of the Raiders, has shown a fondness for him. Baltimore should also draft a young quarterback in the early rounds. Right now, the Ravens are a mess. They still have an opportunity to make the playoffs if they beat Green Bay on Saturday night, and then Cleveland upsets Pittsburgh on Sunday, setting the stage for the AFC North title next Sunday in Pittsburgh. It sounds fitting, especially for a league that has become more and more like the WWE.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, he's still a great player. His body is breaking down for certain reasons, and he knows it. You know, part of it's on the Ravens, but it majority is on Lamar. If you want to be, you know, for a while or for a long time, I felt like they didn't give him enough respect as a professional and as a quarterback. And as, you know, just because he kind of sometimes, you know, wears the ski mask and all that. And, you know, it doesn't, portray himself like Brady or Joe. You know, I can't even say Joe Burrow because he kind of dresses a little funky. But like, always wearing suits to the game. But he's highly intelligent and very effective. Mm-hmm. But now you act like this. This lets me know these are some of the concerns that they had before they gave you the money. And that's what you never know what happens when somebody gets drafted. It will reveal potentially who they are on a regular basis. And if this is true, where you're going to a mandatory minicamp, and those are usually 3 days, and you're gone after the first day, unexcused or just because you feel like going home, and then you're not working with your receivers in the offseason, well, no wonder you can't perform in prime time. No wonder everybody's not respecting you as a two-time MVP.
Right.
They'll appreciate you getting a little bit better, but they don't respect you because you haven't been able to do the things you need to do on a consistent basis, and that leads to maybe poor performances at the most opportune time. So Lamar's got some soul searching to do. I'm sure he's been made aware of this letter. If I would tell him something, you have just now been put on notice, my brother. And you better get ready for it. You better find a way to become a better player, or you're going to be not out of the league, but you're going to be searching for a job. Then all the things that you mentioned in that article, late to meetings, different rules, essentially above the team, not very like invested, doesn't value, his position and his stature. That sounds like Russell Wilson.
Doesn't make you a good backup.
No.
Doesn't make you a good mentor for the future.
But it makes you, you sound just like Russell Wilson when he kind of lost his way leaving Seattle, and then what he did in Denver. Mm. He had his own set of rules. It didn't work. It made the team despise him secretly, and that's the worst thing. I would rather teammates pull him aside and tell him exactly what they feel versus like feel like you probably can't because he's the franchise. Then that's where, John Harbaugh and those guys got to change their like unity council or whatever they do as well. You got to have some free, speech or free talking amongst team.
I think that if we can assume that this information or at least this narrative is being pushed by upper management, like you said, I think that's perfectly believable. It seems like Lamar Jackson is the one that would be gone before John Harbaugh. Should that be flipped around? Because you can always find another head coach. It's really hard to find a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but it's really hard to find a head coach that embodies the franchise in the city. And he's won at the clip that they have. So,
and obviously he'd have a job immediately.
And yes, it's Lamar's going to go first if it continues down this path. Now, he could get busy or next year, and all will be forgotten. And they could be winning. They could be, in the driver's seat next year, and they'd be like, oh, man, he's made great improvements. It all depends on what he's wanting to do with it. And where he wants to take it, as far as it's a decision time in his career. Do you want to try to take it to the next level and continue along the path of being dominant, or do you want to play around and say like, okay, it's easy, they can't do anything with me, and then now you're totally surprised that you get cut?
Right.
I mean, because it's a comparison to Cam Newton, and Cam was a great player, but I always said Cam's biggest best attribute, right, was being as big and fast, and he did have a strong arm. But when you took away the RPO action, by the time that he was really beat up and taking some unnecessary shots, I remember it was Elmas Dumervil and Von Miller. Just the ref was allowing both of them to tee off on him. If you can't pocket pass, and you saw him in New England, there you go. Now you, and he's doing well now. He's doing a podcast and all that. But Lamar Jackson, if you want to be like that, you better figure out a way to go and get better at your craft and be a better teammate if you want to play as long as one of the people that you have affinity for in Tom Brady. If you do not, you will be in the studio 93.7 The Ticket, FM.com, and 1040 O Street very quickly.
What's easier to change, football habits or personal habits?
Well, they both go in the same. They're both in the same. What you do sometimes is what you do all the time. Nobody's perfect, but you're pretty. But you got to be to for that to be known, right? And for somebody to write it, I don't know who this guy is, but for him to be a veteran, he's not writing anything that he hasn't researched that's very credible, and he's asked two or three sources,
yeah,
legitimate sources that knows. Hey, this is what I heard. You don't have to elaborate. I just need to know yes or no. That's what, the guy number two, number three. He's writing the same thing that he got from the first guy, but it's all validated. So yeah. It's tough, man. I mean, to be hurt like that, and with Lamar's been banged up the last 2 years, and you read that because he's probably got a lot of people reading. Boy,
Either your eyes are opened, or you're gonna.
My eggnog would be spiked.
You might have some eggnog with your spike.
Yeah. I mean, you got to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the first reaction is you're going to be mad. Mm-hmm. You know, bump Baltimore. I want to know who said it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. You can be mad at who said it, but you can't be mad at the message, because the message, even if it's 50% true, then that's 100% wrong.
Yeah. Cupsker says, as a resident Steelers fan, I'll say this. I love the drama in Baltimore. I know Pittsburgh has its own drama, but we have other wideouts that can step up. Baltimore doesn't have another franchise quarterback. Yeah. Cupsker, I think that's fair. Merry Christmas to you, by the way. Appreciate you chiming in and listening as always. So, Jay, let's play this hypothetical out. Lamar Jackson potentially on the move from Baltimore. He was making $20.25 million this year, $14.5 million with a signing bonus, $8 million option, and a $750,000 workout bonus for a cap hit of $43.5 million. Next year, that jumps up to $74.5 million, $51.25 million in base salary, same signing bonus options and workout bonuses in there for a 24.48% hit to the cap.
He gone. He's either gone or renegotiate your contract. You gone.
Here's where the next interesting piece of this contract comes. He's due that same 51.25 and the same bonuses for that next $74.5 million in 2027, but there's a void, a couple void years on the end. The Ravens can get out of this contract after next year for only $35 million in dead cap. Is he there next year and then gone in 27 after for his age 30 season?
Yeah, and especially if they're not in contention. He would have to do an about face, better teammate, better work ethic, better practice player, better results on the field. But he gone.
So Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP, let's say he just sticks at two, entering his age 30 season in 2027. The projected numbers would take it down from a 24.5% of the cap hit to a 23% of the cap hit for Lamar Jackson, that same $74.5 million. You mentioned Andy Reid. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is going to be in Kansas City. That's not going to happen. Could you see Lamar Jackson being a San Francisco 49er? Do you think Miami, his hometown, would take a shot on him? Would the Colts maybe try to inquire a year early? I don't think so, because of the draft capital they gave up and having to part with players doesn't seem like an option for them. Would Atlanta want to hop off the quarterback carousel and go get a guy like this? What are you thinking if Lamar moves entering his age 30 season?
All those are good spots. I mean, him and Steichen are probably my first choice. They don't have the capital, so you know he would probably.
Well, not the draft capital. They have the player capital. Yeah, Baltimore thinks they can.
Yeah, but then you're essentially taken away from Lamar before he gets there. You give away some of your offensive threats. But it could happen, and that might be the easiest way to do it. Sure, you'd like to go to Miami, but you saw you've seen what happened when Tyreek Hill went.
Yeah.
It's not all peaches and cream. And then you're going to be on a losing team. And so when you think about the not the Bears, but Atlanta, I think that would be the ideal perfect situation. Away from home, but still in the South. He is obviously significantly better than the two quarterbacks he has or that they have there. Mm-hmm. And he would drive, obviously, sales, you know, for butts in the seat. But more importantly, they have the skill position guys and the offensive line around him that will really, you know, kind of like rinse and repeat from what he was able to do, and maybe even a higher level from Baltimore. But that this needs to be addressed. I mean, I'm sure if I'm John Harbaugh or if I'm Lamar Jackson, for sure, you got to tell me. And you can't tell me that you've never seen anything like that. That's not true.
No.
Who does that sound like? Like I'm saying, like of all the people, who would know this? Okay. Who's friends with him, this reporter? Mm-hmm. Then you try to figure out, and then eventually you'll find out. Because yep. if there's a guy in the administration telling him that, there's a guy in the administration that would tell you or your agent who said it.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So you just got to just kind of pick and prod a little bit.
What about Arizona?
I like Arizona, but I don't even know if the coach is going to be there.
Wouldn't that be the perfect time for him to make that move?
Yeah.
Support a new head coach. Yeah,
but it all depends on who the next head coach is.
Gannon was the DC. If they take an offensive-minded guy?
They'll take an offensive-minded guy. You have the weapons, so it's actually on paper already a really good spot. You got to think, who could possibly be it? Would it be Nagy? Would it be
Ryan Day?
Yeah. I mean,
throw it out there.
In a couple of years. I mean, you just never know. If you find – biggest thing for him, he wants to find a coach that believes in him and his skill set. And obviously Lamar's made huge strides as far as like throwing the ball, but and being obviously a two-time MVP, but now he's there with a different type of – this isn't the Lamar Jackson that was stunned and rightfully so that got dropped in the draft. Came in very humble, work. This is a different one if these actions or these thought processes that he has are true.
Preston also threw the name Joe Burrow into the bottom of that, being in trade rumors. Of course, Joe Burrow made some kind of nebulous comments. He walked him back saying, no, I just want to play football. It's all I want to do. Jay, we spent some time talking about the Bengals and the salary cap position that they're in, thinking that, you know, T. Higgins would be the cap casualty. Mm-hmm. If you're Cincinnati, is there a world in which you say, well, you know what? The guy making the biggest chunk of the pie is Joe Burrow. We can get a younger quarterback in here, surround him with these weapons. He's already good to go. I don't know if I would do that, but sounds like there's at least some credence to that possibility. And I think Joe Burrow's probably more of a portable quarterback than Lamar Jackson is.
Yeah. He's obviously universal, where everybody, you know, could definitely make concessions for him. I mean, it'd be interesting to see on the Joe Burrow tip. I mean, he's frustrated. Mm-hmm. He's embarrassed, sure, in the short term. But when you see him on the bench and he's really contemplating things, and then when you see him in his press conferences, he's really contemplating things, he's seeing the end, you know, a lot faster than what maybe even the Bengals are even seeing it. Because being the number one pick, wanting to win a Super Bowl, working and preparing, and then you get a little bit of, you know, he's had playoff taste and now it's the Super Bowl taste. You don't want to go back to where you're like the laughing stock, no matter what, no matter what position you were drafted in previously, which would be him number one overall. So he's got some decisions to make. He's got to make it. And obviously, I know him and Chase are close. And so Chase is going to be there. Higgins probably gone. You got to figure out who's the next in line, or if you want to go somewhere else and try your shot there. Because injuries aside, you don't want to be known as number one pick that never can get it done.
Yeah. That entire AFC North, Jay, is quarterback questions. Aaron Rodgers not going to be there beyond next year, I wouldn't think. The Browns are the Browns. This with the Ravens, and we'll see with the Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Browns is the only person you know that's going to be on the team next year is Deshaun Watson, which is crazy.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably the weakest group or weakest quartet of quarterbacks out there. Definitely by production as well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and just instability, like in terms of the amount of change coming in that division.
Yeah.
They're on the precipice right now.
Yeah.
So we'll go to break. We will wrap things up for us for the next few days, actually. This will be our last segment until we're back with you on Monday. He's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. Back momentarily.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Norman.
We're back. We're wrapping up Old School for the week. You'll hear from me and Nick starting at 3 o'clock coming up on Friday. We tape something for y'all. But this is it for me and Jay Foreman before Christmas. We will, of course, be back next week. I'll be set up your expectations, your thoughts for Nebraska football in the Las Vegas Bowl against Utah. And of course, help you set up a little bit for Love Volleyball at Nebraska. They're getting ready to start their second season coming up here on January 11th at Baxter Arena. Get your tickets online at lovb.com or lovneb.com. That's where you can view the promotional schedule for Love Volleyball Nebraska. Get your tickets, your season tickets, all that good stuff. First match against Love Houston on Sunday, January 11th, coming up at 3 p.m. Jay, we talked about a potential split between the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, a guy that I don't think is going anywhere, but is certainly having some issues, shall we say, with his current franchise, or at least did yesterday. Draymond Green. He and Steve Kerr get into it, and Draymond Green just walks off the bench. Not the same player. He's still a Warrior. It still means a lot to him, to that team when he's good. Clearly means a lot to Steph Curry. But man, when's the end for Draymond Green and the Warriors?
I don't think it's ever going to end. I think whenever Steph leaves, he's going to.
Can you afford to pay that salary for 8 points, 4 rebounds, and a career high in turnovers?
Maybe this year. And I think that he's like Lamar Jackson in a different way. It's like that organization is okay with his antics. And I think that Steve Kerr is very rational, and he understands Draymond is Draymond, and he understands that Draymond needed to remove himself and kind of gather his thoughts. He's like, holler at you. You know, I've been playing good. I'm sure Father Time is obviously ticking for Draymond and frustrated and trying to find a way to keep an edge. And maybe the Golden State hasn't been playing up to what they all expected. So he's trying to give a spark, and sometimes he just goes too far. Not sometimes, majority of the time. But he's a great teammate to be on your team. You hate to play against him. It's kind of hard because, you know, you always thought him and LeBron paired together, then that would be it. But it seems like LeBron is obviously, I'd be surprised if LeBron plays one or two more years after this year.
Yeah, I agree.
So with that being said, there's not going to be any trade partners that be packaged with LeBron in next year or the year after, knowing that the end is near for the guy that's the bell cow, and that'd be LeBron, which that means Draymond might be stuck somewhere without LeBron there.
Right. 8 quick picks. Cleveland or New York? Kickoff game for NBA Christmas Day. Who are you taking?
I'm going New York. Cleveland's been a disappointment.
They really have been. San Antonio at Oklahoma City.
I'm going San Antonio.
Ooh.
With an asterisk, as long as Wimby plays over 24 minutes.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Spurs have won 2 straight games against the Thunder. This one in Oklahoma City. How about this, Jake? Cheapest ticket of the NBA weekend. $87 gets you in the door to watch a matchup between two of the top teams in the West.
That might be worth the drive.
Well, you already have plans. Actually, you can make it work. That's the 1:30 game. The nightcap is the T-Wolves with the tickets you already got.
Yeah, Bloodline. Send that private jet for your home.
OKC to Denver's not that bad.
Oh, that's easy.
That's a quick one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dallas at Golden State.
Golden State.
Ooh, I'm taking Dallas.
Anthony Davis is distracted. I know Cooper Flagg is going to do his
thing. He's been hooping.
Yeah.
Tell me Jimmy Butler can stop Cooper Flagg. I don't believe it for a second.
Oh, he's going to be physical with that dude.
He's going to take it personal. Yeah. Houston at Los Angeles. You taking the Lakers because you have to?
I'm going to go Houston. No, I'm going Lakers. They got your boy Reeves.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. I'm taking Houston in that one.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. NFL picks then, Jay. Dallas at Washington. Cowboys or Commanders?
Dallas.
I agree. Detroit at Minnesota. Detroit.
Yeah.
Denver at Kansas City. Probably not much to talk about there either.
Yeah.
Imagine Chris Olatokun pulls off a Christmas miracle. Or who's the other guy they just signed? You've been on their practice squad. The SMU guy.
Yeah, I know. Jennings, right?
No, the one before him.
I know who you're talking about. Not happening.
No, it's not. Too late. It's not. Anyways, we can picture the guy. We know where he went to school.
Yeah, we know where you are in our minds. You know, you there physically, but we're thinking about you over here at Nebraska. Good luck, brother.
Go get
that pass rush. You're going to be up.
Probably down.
Yeah.
And then back up, yes, and then back down.
You ain't been hit in years. You're going to get hit.
Don't have too much fun with that. He's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. This will do it for Old School for the week. Jay, a very Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Oh, yeah, you too, man. You got a lot of great Christmas present here just over for Thanksgiving weekend. So it's a great Christmas for you, Austin.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.